Hit me one time, DL. There we go. Sounds like free to me. Yes, the Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
And today we have a very special guest, someone who I would consider one of the most important people to any DJ coming up around here in North Carolina for the past 30 or 40 years that I've been doing business here.
Mm-hmm.
He goes by the name of Smokehouse. Y'all give it up one time for Legendary Smokehouse. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing fine. I'm going to give people a real quick introduction, and I'm going to let you expand upon what I tell them. Because, you know, I know this man is having the best record pool for a DJ that, you know, if you were not a part of this record pool, outside of being on a radio station
mm-hmm.
where you could get music directly from the labels, if you were not a part of Smokehouse Record Pool, then you need to step your game up. This man put the records in my crates.
Okay.
Before anybody else did.
And you called it the DJ.
It's the Triangle Record Pool.
Record Pool.
So, Smokehouse, I know that you've done so much more in music and for the DJs and people around here in North Carolina than that. So I'm going to let you expand. And we're going to start by saying, how did you become interested in music? What brought you to radio and the music game, period?
Okay. Let me share my story, which starts way back in the late 70s. That's right. A long time ago.
Hey, that's what we always like to start in the beginning around here, so this right. is perfect. Right up my alley.
Okay. Now, speaking of the record pool, a lot of people, if they're not in the game, they probably don't know anything about a record pool. It's Greek to them, what you just shared with them or whatever, but I'll take you through that.
Okay.
In the beginning, the late 70s, I was a DJ, okay, that played different events around the Triangle, mostly radio station events. For example, there was an AM station in Raleigh, North Carolina, WLLE.
I'm very familiar.
Which a lot of people would be familiar with it. And with that being said, they were on daylight hours. Around 7 o'clock in the evening, they had to sign off. But I had a habit of hanging around radio stations. So by me hanging around the AM 57, the station that I'm talking about, they gave me an opportunity. That opportunity was to do their events that they do in the community because I was a part of the community. And so by doing that, that was the beginning. But later on, they gave me a mix show because they knew I was a mixer in the nightclubs and so forth.
Right. So you were a mixer on Willie.
On Willie. Yeah. So that was the beginning. So my afternoon drive guy, Chester Davis, God bless his soul. He's not with us now. But anyway, we had fun together. And that's part of how the record pool started. Because the record labels would send the radio station the promotional copies for them to play on air, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by me just being there, hanging around Chester, we became the best of friends. He started giving me records to take out on my sets in the community. And that's when I noticed that they were promotional copies of records from the real record label. So I was very excited. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right. With that stamp. They had the stamp on them.
Yeah. So later on, the general manager, you know, was kind of watching what was going on as progress was being made. And I approached them as to how could I get involved with getting promotional copies of records from the major record labels. So he shared with me, his name is Gervais, he shared with me is, well, you need to talk to Chester about that. But even though Chester and I were the best of friends, you know, he was kind of reluctant to give away his craft.
Right.
You know what I'm
saying? Right.
You know, so I mean, I would be too, you know. But by me going through that process or whatever later on, not to just stay in one point, there was a nightclub in Raleigh called Sid's.
Okay.
You ever heard? In the Holiday Inn. And there was a number of those around the country.
Oh, so it was a chain.
It was a chain. There you go. So what happened, they hired me to do three nights a week. Okay?
Ooh, that's nice.
Tuesday through Thursday. They would never let me on the weekend, but, you know, that's another story. And but from that, one thing led to another. So from this, from Sid, located on Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh, they no longer exist. They shut all of them down.
Hmm.
Okay? So with that being said, I was still at the AM station. So a good friend of mine, the late Alvin Stokes, used to be at QMG Greensboro.
Oh yeah, I know that name well. I know Alvin.
Okay, and he left us as well. But yeah,
bless him.
He had a staff and was going to sign on the first FM. Okay, in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, and the metro area. So that's how I got involved with Alvin. He invited me to his home. His wife, Kathy Stowe, was a TV announcer in Durham, North Carolina. So Alvin and I became real, real close. He asked me, have you ever, you know, been interested in starting in radio? And that's the question that goes back to what you're asking me right now. Mm-hmm. So I told him I really hadn't never thought about just going into radio because I was still a DJ. I didn't know what my future was as different things progressed. So he invited me to a pool party at his home. And most of the time, program directors be hanging out on the poolside, looking for music to play or whatever. This particular day, he had his boom box on the pool curb. He was listening to the station and so forth. And he was asking, do anybody here have something else to play or something that I could put in my boom box? So, with that being said, I always have my cassette way back then in my pocket.
Sound like me.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, I'm sure those are some experiences you could talk about as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. So, he took the cassette, put it in his boom box or whatever, and the rest is history. He hired me, gave me hours, so forth, and told me when to come in. He showed me what to do, how to run the board and stuff like that. But the part that will really stun the world is like when we went in the station, he was getting ready to go on vacation. He's the program director, you know, let everybody know what to play and all this, whatever. Mm-hmm. He showed me two speakers. He said, if those speakers go dead and you can't hear those speakers, that means the station is off the air. So you know what happened next. I was sweating bullets.
First time in there by yourself running things is scary.
Yeah. He left, and he said, I'll be listening, da-da-da, you know. And so I remembered what he told me when the speaker stopped playing, the station is off the air. So that happened a couple times when I was getting ready to change records. Mm-hmm. And but I finally, you know, got it back on. But I was hesitant and going to the next record here, next record there, da-da-da, being afraid that it might go off the air again. But I got through that part and so forth, and that was a learning point for me for the future, mm-hmm. In the game and so forth. And after that incident, this was also the first FM signed on the air by Alvin Stokes.
What year was this?
He was the first. That was 83, 84, 85. Mm-hmm. Was the beginning of the first FM in Durham, North Carolina.
This is for urban radio, right?
For urban hip hop.
Right.
This urban hip hop and R&B. Okay. It was Foxy 107, WFXC, Foxy 107.1. We call it the first Foxy. The reason we call it the first Foxy because there's a Foxy that's on air now, a Foxy 107.
Right.
That came after the original.
Oh, you know,
like we had drops that would say the original Foxy 107 FM.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so also, with that being said, I started at Foxy with a mix show called In the Mix with Smokehouse.
So you went from the Willie days, this is like 79 up until Foxy.
78 was the beginning of the record pool. That's why I was hanging around the AM station.
So you started the record pool then?
I started the record pool in the spring of 1978.
So,
oh, wow.
I got a question since we went back again. Like, where did you get your start? Like, your love and your passion for music, where did that come from?
It came from a closet in my home. Let me explain. I lived in this home where I had a closet. I took all the clothes out of the closet. I set up a mixer, two turntables, which was 1200s back then. By the way, I was the first one to own a 1200 turntable here.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought them out of Greensboro, if that sounds familiar. So I set on two milk crates. I set my little setup in the closet, and I sit there every day, all day. I will go to the club at night. That CS nightclub I was telling you about?
Right.
Now, their format was a little different. You know, they had country, they had pop, but they hated country, and that was good for me. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I didn't want to play it no way back then. Because, you know, today's time now, it's a little different with the country. It sounds kind of R&B-ish now.
Right.
But back then, it was stone country. You know? So I got... through that situation, you about to say something?
Yep. Where are you from?
I'm from the eastern part of the state, Williamson, North Carolina, near the water.
We know about Williamson being okay. That both of us come from Edgecombe County, Tarboro. You know, Princeville.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. And by the way, since you're there, my real name that nobody knows is Frankie Wiggins.
Oh, wow.
He's one of them Wiggins from Williamston.
Yeah. Right.
later came Smokehouse.
Yeah. You
know. Okay. But being with Alvin, that opened a lot of doors. Okay. Right. And when I say open a lot of doors, I would like to share something with you, if you would allow me. You know, radio stations have what they call they have a tap scan where they scan radio station to see who has the number one show, number two person by then.
Right.
Okay. Now, through the scan that I'm sharing with you right now, they included 18 different stations. Okay. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that my show was a hip hop show. The real hip hop show. You know what I'm saying? Some of the artists that I played, if you allow me. Back then, when I first got on the job at WFXC, Run DMC was on tour coming through Durham the first day.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, we have. Let's see. Let me name a couple. You were familiar with Big Daddy Kane, right?
Oh, of course.
Oh, cool. Some of the other people that I had on air was the KRS-One.
Mm-hmm.
Dana Dane was my theme song on my mix show, The Last History.
Uh-huh.
Now, keep in mind, the show In the Mix of Smokehouse on that one particular station, I never worked at another radio station, was number one for 5 years.
Nice.
Wow.
1985 to May 11th of 1990. That's when I resigned.
Wow. Congratulations.
Hey, get him, man. Thank you. Legendary.
Thank you. Now, yes, now, thank you. Now, during that tenure, my arbitrage ratings was 12 to 17 audience, number one, across the board, all 18 stations. 12 to 24, number one. 12 to 34, 12 to 44, 12 to 49, 12 to 54, 12 to 64, and 12 plus. That means that all 18 stations was listening to Smokehouse on a Saturday night from 7 to till midnight. 7 p.m. to 12 midnight. That's when the show was aired.
Oh, wow. How big was
that's a long time, right?
Yes. What? How big was the station?
Like, yeah. How large was the signal? 3,000 at the time.
At the time.
Yep. And, and being a centralized location, you could still reach the majority.
You could still reach out.
Right.
Now we had the number one book, and which you guys are familiar with that, mm-hmm. for 3 or 4 times over 100,000 watts.
3 or 4 books. What does that mean?
The book is every period or quarter, or however often they do the numbers. Uh-huh. That's the book.
Oh, okay, got you.
Right.
I also, not to cut across you, at that same station, I worked Sunday through Saturday night. Okay, the next week starts the following Sunday. And the pattern went on for 5 straight years. Out of those 5 Ooh. Straight years, I was off the station twice out of those 5 years.
And wow. This was actually in the station.
yeah. You had to actually be in there live. Yeah.
Now this part is going to lead to why I resigned, because I know that question is coming.
Yeah, tell us about it.
I want to know how much you was getting paid to be that dedicated.
Okay,
dedication.
There you go. You telling my story.
Okay.
But anyway, I was also on that same station from Sunday through Thursday, 12 midnight to 6.
Ooh.
Gosh.
They were burning your candle on both ends.
Man. it was unbelievable to me that I put up with it that long. For you being, I just want to share this, you being a number one person, especially on a radio, people smile on your face, but you know the rest.
And, yeah, I know.
And this was,
like, you know that?
You being on the radio that long during that time period, like, what was the format of the show?
The show was like, R&B, hip-hop across the board, you know, R&B. So that means that I also, Alvin, the programmer, let me play whatever I wanted to play, which that don't happen at radio stations. A programmer gives you a list he wants you to play. Alvin gave me the lead ring because he trusted me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
And I want to add for the audience, you know, we talk about how long it took. We've had plenty of shows. We talk about how long it took for radio to realize that hip hop could work as a format.
Yes.
Because I'm sure that when you weren't on, a lot of those hip hop records weren't playing during the daytime, were they?
No.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in my mix, the reason I was trusted, because I will mix pop into my hip hop.
Right.
Okay. So there's another part to that story I'll share with you a little later. But a lot of people were saying hip hop will never work. Mm-hmm. This was in 1985.
Right.
It's 2025. And it's all over the country now.
And your numbers should have shown back then that this is a format that could stand on its own. What Smokehouse is doing could be an entire radio station because the numbers were speaking that.
And it was no competition.
Right.
College station.
Yeah, WSHA.
A college station at North Carolina State was my competition.
Yeah.
with the same kind of reach.
But they didn't have the reach.
Okay.
Now you got some college stations got 50,000 watts.
Right. Yeah, A&T is a 50,000 watt, I think. Now.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
You see, but it wasn't like that in the '80s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So that was another advantage that I could count my blessings on. So with that being said, May 11th that I shared with you a little earlier about that's when I resigned, May 11th of 1990.
Mm-hmm.
I just got tired of it. I didn't want to do radio no more, which was obvious. And so I just put in my resignation. I still have it in my file cabinet right now, which they were sharing with me that you need to keep that with you forever. But I don't plan to go back into radio at my age. You know what I'm saying?
So at the time that this station was the first one on the FM, that's like regional. It's not like...
Yeah, it was the first probably North Carolina had some other full-time R&B stations, but I guess for Raleigh,
mm-hmm.
that's the R&B station. Is that correct?
You had R&B stations around, but no FM. We were one of the first ever FM.
Yeah. Well, see, back east,
Chapel Hill market.
You remember 97.7 back east in Kinston?
Okay, way back.
Kinston, North Carolina. It's
I'm familiar, yeah.
Yeah. They had a station that used to go hard, and they were an FM station, but I don't think they had a huge reach either.
No, I understand, but my thing was Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill.
Yeah, up here in this area, Foxy was...
Yeah, in the first in the area, yeah.
Okay.
So with that being said, when I left the radio station, 2 weeks later, I had another blessing. Okay? The station called me and shared with me that there was a company in... Culver City, California, looking for me. They were interested in putting that show in the mix with Smokehouse. They were looking to syndicate that show.
Oh, okay? Wow.
So they would share with me that the station is trying to block you, but you need to call them right now.
Right. Direct contact.
Direct contact. There you go. So I called them. Westwood One company, they still around now. Mm-hmm. And I'm holding the contract in my hand, the first contract ever with my syndication, da da da. They gave me three or four national sponsors.
Hey, Smokehouse, I'm sorry, but we're going to savor in this moment, okay?
Yeah.
You talking that big boy stuff right there. I'm not gonna let you rush through this, okay?
I'll slow down, which I want to do.
Okay.
Okay. So with that being said,
hold on, say that again though.
Syndication.
Yeah, so if you'd allow me, let me share a couple paragraphs with you. That's right. Straight from Westwood One Radio Network.
Okay.
The way they approached me, they were sending this to the radio station, but the lady intercepted it, and got it to me.
Right.
Okay. So there's only one thing that can make this year's July 4th weekend even hotter, and that's a sizzling, too hot special. And we've got one for you. They were talking about In the Mix with Smokehouse.
So
okay,
so you went national,
right?
Yeah, you went national early.
Yeah, so now I'm real excited, right? So people say, "Where did you get that excitement from?" From my history,
mm-hmm.
You see,
right?
And that same excitement never left me. To 2024 right now, but there's other things happening. But what they did for me is a two-hour mix show competition, okay? They Westwood One selected 10 DJs from around the country that had mix shows at radio. okay? The power station. So we had to send out tapes and they had to, you know, process the tape, listen, pitch, check spots or whatever. But with that being said, I came out the number five DJ, mix show DJ in the country at that time.
Wow.
So that was their leverage to get me on every power station in the country.
Oh. But that's
heavy, right?
That is. That is.
So on a Saturday night, they had sent the mix show to every power station in the country, West Coast, East Coast, you name it. They had every one of those power stations to play that mix show at 8 o'clock p.m. at the same time. Every station at the same time. Imagine that.
And you know what? What a lot of people don't know is that gives you a certain amount of power with the labels. And I know that had to help the record pool, did it not?
Yeah.
Record pool's taking off.
You're telling part of my story. But it goes hand in hand. You see how it flows?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let me see here. We have... Okay. When that was over, that gave me that leverage that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the record label started calling my name.
And okay. What when did the syndicated show, when did that end?
Okay, that was just for that period of competition.
Right.
It was
right.
It was a syndicated competition.
Gotcha. Okay, I understand.
Dope.
Yeah.
But it's still national exposure.
It's still the national exposure, but that really got the ball rolling for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't like to talk about myself, but I got to talk about myself to tell the story. You see what I'm saying? You know, where I come from is about all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so my first independent marketing contract, that's what they called it, was with MCA Records.
Heavy D and the Boys.
When MCA Records came, a little more lead way with some R&B and hip hop. Mary J. Blige. There you go.
There you go.
Mary J. got Blige. I had a chance to meet her, hang out with her here in Raleigh. Da da da. So it's a lot of others, but that was my first national independent contract to work for a label. Now. With that being said, I had other labels that flew me to California, to different places, the labels, wanting me to work inside. But all of them knew I had the record pool, right? And they knew I was going to turn them down when I got there. And that's what happened.
Right.
You know, because I was doing okay.
Right,
you know,
right.
They were sponsoring me with the promo copies that I was servicing to... DJs across the state of North Carolina, every section of North Carolina and South Carolina.
I was one of
every
them.
Every section. And you're one. Hey, okay.
Real quick. Smoke, let me interrupt you for a second. Let me tell you how I got to be a part of your record pool.
Okay, please.
Now, I told K Nice, we had K Nice on. I was telling him how I remember meeting him. And one of the things he told me back in the day, he said, man, if you ain't on the radio station, man, you need to get with Smokehouse.
Get it out there.
That sounds just like him.
Yep, you need to get with Smoke, man. You need to get with Smokehouse. Because I was at his house one day, and a box of records came.
Right.
Yep.
And I was already over there to get records.
Mm-hmm.
But then your box came. And he was flipping through it, and sometimes it was just like one or two copies. It wasn't enough for him to give me anything out of the box. So he's just looking, and we're sitting there opening it like it's Christmas.
Yeah, right.
You know, pulling it. Oh, look, check it out. This is such and such new. And, you know, 12-inch singles back in the day had versions that you couldn't get on the album. So you're really waiting for this box. So I was like, man, wow.
All different words.
Right, I'm like, yo, man, who sent you this box of records? Like, yo, man, you need to get with Smokehouse. So K Nice hooked up the introduction
mm-hmm.
for me to talk to Smokehouse, and I got in the record pool. And I felt so official.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Can you imagine? You and I are talking right now. I'm talking to one of my hot DJs. You know, can you imagine how many people, and I can share that with you, a lot of the people like you, Cap, K-Nice, the list goes on, became program directors at radio stations right now.
Yeah, everybody had a nice radio career. Used to have a call too. Every now and then we'd call in. We had a conference call.
Mm-hmm. We had all of that.
Yeah, we'd be on the conference call, man. We're talking to all these cats from North Carolina, South Carolina. I remember those days.
And the record pool got an honor back in 1994. All those programmers we were talking about, there was a Carolina chapter. Different states had different chapters of the program directors. Okay, they call it the Young Black Programmers. Trying a Record Pool got the 1974 Program Directors Award of the Year. So that's another accolade to add to what we're talking about right now.
Hey, that Record Pool was huge, man. It changed. Yeah, that was one of the things that changed my outcome as a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
That put me ahead of the game. You know, there's some stuff that you couldn't even find in the store, but it's going to come in a smokehouse box, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That was mine. Even when I started on radio, I still stayed in the record pool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and that's been 30 years ago, Smoker. Can you believe it? That was 30 years ago.
Yes, but I'm at 50 years in the game.
Right. 50 years of hip hop.
Yep. 50 years of hip hop. You've been there for all 50 of them.
Wow. You're telling my story. That's another segment coming. I'm just teasing you guys. And so a lot of people are saying, you know, this record pool, we had everybody there.
Yeah.
I mean, but through that tenure, I have to pause for a moment and give a moment of silence, man, to the people that were in the record pool that's not here anymore.
Right on. There it is.
Okay. Yeah, man. Because from radio programmers to DJs, I mean DJs, man, from car accidents to sickness, you know, health problems to whatever. And I am so proud, man, and grateful and thankful for you guys. You feel what I'm saying? That's sitting across from me, like, you know, urging people on, you know, to do the right thing. So that's what it's all about at the end of the day. You know, what have you done at the end of the day? And I don't want to start preaching in here, but sometimes I go off script, you know.
It's all good. This is your time to do it.
Yes, sir.
You know, to say a few things to our people, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, I hope everything works out, but it works out if you strive for the best. I never listened to another radio station while in my tenure at the radio station. The reason I never listened to another radio station because I felt like it would take my mind off being focused at that number one seed that the people gave me. You see where I'm at?
I do.
You know? That was a people's vote, you know, that made me number one, along with that mix that we created, not just for the hip-hop community, the dance music community. You know, I could go on and on and on, but if I could be of any consolation to anybody out there, you know, if you want to do something, stick with it. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people do too many things. You know, I stuck with my craft,
right?
You know, and I could do other things too, Cap, you know, but that's another story.
Right. But, hey, I'm gonna throw a memory at you. For people that don't understand the impact of a record pool, like there are only a handful of DJs that can be on air and mix and get the opportunity to mix at a radio station. And there are 10, 20 times more DJs just out here that don't have the opportunity to be at a radio station and get those records. Mm-hmm. Not right. only did Smokehouse's record pool give us some of the records that the radio jocks had, we also got a chance to meet artists. And I'm going to tell you about a time Smokehouse used to have a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
you know I'm going to talk about the Christmas parties.
Hey, go right ahead.
Everybody, all the DJs that were in the pool, Smokehouse said, hey, man, my Christmas party's coming up in Raleigh.
Okay.
I would put it on my calendar and make sure I was not DJing.
Right.
And go.
And to answer that, Cap, I would drive to city to city to let people know that that's coming and you're welcome.
Oh yeah, yeah. Smokehouse did work for the pool. I got a lot of memories, but one here goes one in particular.
Yeah.
And this is the impact for a DJ that's not on the radio. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the stories that I tell come from me being on the radio. That's how I got to meet these people. I'm at Smokehouse's Christmas party. It's upstairs. I was waiting to go up there. And I sat down at the bar of the hotel. I think it was that Sheraton over there by the Crabtree. Wasn't there a Sheraton by Crabtree?
That's right. The Sheraton, that's right.
So I was sitting downstairs at the bar. And there's a dude next to me, and he has on a pastor's robe. And I started talking to him. He's like, yeah, man, I'm in town, man. I rap. My name Pastor Troy. I'm going to go upstairs. He said, I'm about to go upstairs and rock for this record pool. Yeah. I was like, well, I'm about to go up there and hear you rock for this record pool.
Right.
I mean, this is way before No More Playing GA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Troy.
We broke the record.
He is there to perform for the record pool.
Right.
And you get a chance to meet these artists. Dope. I met Renee from Renee and Angela. Just how random, how random is that? I met him at Smokehouse's record pool party.
Wow.
That's amazing.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and he would reach out to the DJs when the opportunities came up. I remember one time Smoke was like, man, hey, we got some tickets to something going on in Charlotte. We're going to pack the, you know, pack my bus up. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming through Greensboro. If you want to ride, hop on the bus. I hopped on the bus, and guess who was with me? The woman that I'm married to right now.
Boy, that's amazing.
And this is years before we got married.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always tell her, you know, one for Smokehouse.
I got you, man. That's a great story, man.
Yep, yep.
I'm honored. I am honored.
But, yeah, that was the first time, like, going to those record pool events, outside of hanging with Kay Nice, who was on the radio, this is the first time that I got a chance as a DJ that I felt special.
Right.
You know, being in the record pool puts you in a special class of DJs. You get records ahead of time. You get to meet artists. You know, you know Smokehouse, the man.
Right.
You know, so it was a big deal.
So, Cap, I got a question for you. I'm sorry, but since we're talking about a record pool, and to fast forward to now, it sounds almost like what they do to get on playlists. So, like, is that the same? Wouldn't that be like the same?
Well, it's a little bit different because all the record pool did was service, you know, service the record, and you decided. Okay. You know, the DJ is still the ultimate end decision on whether the record was going to jump or not.
Okay.
The labels had to get feedback from the DJs.
Mm-hmm.
And me as a director, I had to let each record label know about their record or they would cut my service.
Okay.
Did that explain to you better?
Yes.
Yeah. And we gave honest, brutally honest feedback.
Right. Either you rock with it or you don't.
Either you rock with it or you don't.
Because, Cap, we had a saying that if you're not talking about my record, you're not playing my record.
Right. Whether it's good or bad talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like good somebody else said that, too.
Hey, we talk about I got good, a question. Bad, and
So, like, during this whole process, like, were payments being made or how did that work?
As far as payment is concerned, the way the record pool works, and there are other names I could call that were my friends. Now, by the way, Triangle was one of the first record pools in the land. mm-hmm. in the country. One of the first, okay? Another friend of mine, Foot James, had a pool, Impact record pool in Los Angeles, right? You know, God bless his soul, he's gone on too. But the record pools back then ruled.
That's not the same Impact as the convention, is it?
Impact, but they got an internet radio station too.
Okay, I was wondering if this morphed into the Impact because they had a magazine.
Not the Impact convention. I know what you're talking about.
Okay,
and that was another record pool. He had 100 DJs. I had 100 DJs, but they never stay the same.
Right.
The good, bad, and the ugly. A DJ may fall out. There's another one standing there waiting to take their place. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I didn't get into why they would get out of the record pool or whatever. That didn't interest me. My interest was to get the next person. But to answer your question as far as the dollars and cents part, we charge a fee to be in the company. You couldn't buy records.
It was like a subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. It's a kind of subscription type deal. You see what I'm saying? And you get everything that comes out. My club guys, I will make sure that they got double copies. So let me take it a little deeper than that. With the copies, I got 100 DJs. They're not going to send me 100 DJs. They might send me 75. Out of that 75 as records, as a DJ, I got to make it work among the people that I have signed, right? Mm-hmm. So that's wherein the double come in. I give a DJ one copy. That's where I had my balance. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Then it got to a point where DJ was saying, oh, you gave him two copies. I didn't give one copy, you know, but I'm paying the same money. Don't worry about that. But it's to my discretion. Why was my to my discretion? Because I knew who was playing my record and who was trying to sell my record.
Right, right.
Yeah. You see where I'm at now?
I do.
You know, because you have some DJs are not loyal like that DJ that back then that had two turntables, a mixer, and some speakers. We call that a real DJ.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I will make sure that club DJ got what he needed. You know? That's where we're all at. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was very beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
So, was in the DL?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me share something with you, if I may.
Okay.
Some of those labels that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I have some more information with you that you'd be very interested in, but we're going to get there. Just bear with me.
Sure.
You talk about major labels in the world, from Polygram, A&M, MCA, Solar, RCA, Capitol, Warner Brothers, Motown, Weir, Taboo, Quest, Island, Profile.
Wow.
Now, Profile will take you back to the Sugar Hill Gang.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, people like that. Philadelphia International. You know, that's your OJs over on the R&B side, different people. They services everything, not just hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You probably remember the name Gamble and Huff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was back with your Teddy Pendergrass, people like that. Columbia Records. Can't remember Columbia Records gave the record pool a plaque?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Yep. For in honor of playing their record. You know? You got Jeffin, Rap-A-Lot. That'd be some more deal. You might be Virgin, Asylum, Arista, Bad Boy, which they're not there anymore, Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these labels are all the national artists in the world that was coming straight through the record pool. So they had to be happy.
Right.
Right.
And they had the promotional copy. The rest of you got to buy it.
Yep, and we're out here doing free advertisement in the form of mixtapes.
Right.
Yeah, that's another thing. You know, so many things came about, Cap, from the mixtape to you know, Mick Hill guy doing that thing, da da da. So many things came into play, you know, that I can't even talk about right now. But anyway, some of my sponsors was McDonald's, Playtex, U.S. Army, a couple of gum companies, you know, and the list goes on and on and on. But anyway, the record pool still exists. We still get the records via MP3 WAVE file.
Okay, so you still have DJs, but you service you service them through MP3s.
I can send the file to the club. I can send it to whoever they want the file, any file they want.
Nice.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know, a lot of people are not aware of that. Some people, I'm sure, thought that was over or whatever, but I was in it to win it when I started back in 1978. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
You know, so now the other side, we still have the record pool. We have the independent marketing side. On that side, it's totally different, you know, from the record pool. But on that side is where you get paid at.
Okay.
So for example, yeah, thank you.
if I'm doing independent marketing for Mary J. Blige back in the day at MCA Records, okay, for me to take that artist on, a price tag came with that. Okay. With MCA, I signed with them, and I have all the contracts from every label in the country right now. Okay. They have to pay me so much per artist. Okay. To work their record. That means putting up posters, passing out flyers, passing out free CDs, any POP. You know, I have a bag that's green and red. I call it my Santa Claus bag.
Full of stuff.
When people see me coming, I got that bag. The crowd, you know, comes immediately because they never know what I have. Also, we work movies too. Remember back in the day, CB4?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
I remember that.
I was that guy that was standing at the door with free tickets and whatever. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So what does that look like now? Compared to back then with the posters.
I'm glad you asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in today and tomorrow, which is a sad situation, because everybody went to the computer. They can't reach out and touch that computer in the field. You need a poster, you need a postcard, or a free CD, or something. The labels have left the street.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. The physical media is gone.
It's gone, mm-hmm. You know? And so that's why I still have a job on that side of the coin. You see what I'm saying? But to come back when they went to the computer and so forth, like I have an artist now that are promoting, and I can't stress enough that they need to put some stuff in the street. Like I have play at WNAA in Greensboro, you know, and I share with them, you need to be out. I know colleges is out right now, but when the colleges come back, I need you to flood the area so people can see and put a face with that airplane.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It
now
matters.
You see what's missing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And meeting the artists, like I was a more diehard Pastor Troy fan. Because met him.
Right. Right.
So
that's another thing, Cap. Yeah.
Yep. You meet the artist, you know, like Chino XL passed the other day. It's like, yo.
Oh, wow. I didn't know.
Yeah. Chino XL passed the other day. And I was like, man, you know, he was one of the coolest guys I met through all of this. Wow. So, and just from him being cool, coming to the station, whatever he put out, I was going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I met him and he was nice. Right. You know what I'm saying?
It's different, but
that's a real connection. That's a real bond, Cap, that he would do that.
Yep.
You know, and because it's like you know each other. So, well, I mean, hey, the record's decent. I played everybody's record when I was on the air. I had cats coming to the station at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, yo, could you put yourself up? Not a problem, man. Da-da-da. That's how I was.
Right. Yeah, that's why you got so many friends.
Yeah. You know, but thank you again, you know. And so let me move on. Where was I? With the record pool cap story got him married. Oh, yeah.
we were talking about the medium going from physical to digital.
Right.
Yeah, you go. From physical to digital, and they not even aware that it's hurting them, Cap.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Everything so non-personal.
What about the people that don't have a computer? Or the computer is down?
Mm-hmm.
Or they just don't rock like that. I got a homeboy in Greensboro that said, he told me, I used to make mixtapes with him. He said, man, I got people still asking me for CDs because everybody ain't got an MP3 player or Bluetooth in their car.
I can see that, yeah. Mm.
You know, some people, the average car is 13 years old on the road today.
Yeah.
13 years ago, every car did not have a Bluetooth player.
No, it had a CD player.
It had a CD player.
Yes.
That's what's on the road right now.
Right. Like my CD player, CD stuck in there. Wish I could change it. I got some good CDs now.
Fellas, let me put some names out there and jog a memory real quick.
All right.
Stay there long. Okay. Remember Roxanne Shanté?
Yes, indeed.
Moni Love?
Yes, sir.
Dougie Fresh?
Indeed.
Dougie Fresh been in my home.
Right.
Queen Latifah? Mm-hmm. Queen Latifah been in my home.
Right.
Eazy-E, the late Eazy-E, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We got Public Enemy. I interviewed Flavor Flav before I left Foxy. I probably got the only interview in the country.
Oh, nice.
I forgot to tell you, every show in those 5 years, I recorded every single one on reel to reel tape.
I was going to say, I know you got reel to reels all over the house. You know, because you don't have that Flavor Flav interview on the MP3 file. That's on a reel somewhere.
Hey, you're making me go back now. I did that in case I ever decided to go back to radio. I still could be the king.
All right, still, hey, yeah. Save that stuff. Save it.
Wow.
Save it. But it, I'm going to tell you, like people told me, it's time to move that stuff to a digital format just for the sake of preservation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's true. They told you right, mm-hmm. You know. Also, I didn't tell you about the music awards along the way. Okay?
All right.
For example, Cypress Hill, remember Killer Man?
Mm-hmm.
I could just kill a man, you know. That record sold a million records.
Mm.
It went platinum, and I have that platinum plaque on the wall in my office.
Right.
Nice.
You know, most of the time they send awards like that to the radio station. When mm-hmm. people come to visit me, Smokehouse, how did you get that award? The radio station want me to get that. That's because they sent it to me.
Right.
For my service.
Yeah, you did just as much to get that record out as the radio station did.
Yeah.
There you go. You know?
I think that might have been one of the records I got from you.
Ice Cube is another one. Mm-hmm. Okay. Dr. Dre is another one on my wall. All of these are like platinum. Okay. Mm-hmm. Snoop Dogg. Mm. You sit there? Who else? Shaggy, that's R&B, on my wall. Bone Thugs and Harmony, on my wall. Master P, on my wall. Okay. Who else? Anyway, the list goes on and on and on. I just want to share that with you. That was something that I was kind of leaving out. But nice. In those awards, this is what it shows me. I was thrilled about the award. I would have rather have had the money.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
But with that tenure from 1978 to now, you know, we were in part with the labels. We sold over 200 million records.
Right.
In part.
Right,
from looking at those, from looking at those awards, from people coming to the store, they'd be saying, wow, man, where did you get that from? I said, hard work, you know? So
I got to look up on the internet how much you worth. You sound like you got some money over there.
It is a priceless treasure. North Carolina's very own priceless treasure. There is no monetary value you can attach to this man. It's priceless. There you go.
Priceless.
Hey, Hey, Smokehouse, if we just had 50 years of hip-hop celebrated all over the world, so last year, were you a part of any, any events last year?
Let me share what I know. I was approached by the people that was putting that on.
If you want to use names, you can use names too.
They were sharing with me, do you want to be a part of the 50 year hip hop or whatever? Me knowing, being inside, okay, that a lot of these people are outside the industry trying to make a buck. Hmm. And I gotta make it real. So what I shared with them, I said, if it's CBS, NBC, anybody like that, you know, I'm down.
Right.
I also shared with them is what I look like taking something that's legendary like that from another DJ.
I think you've earned the right to be. You've earned your place in this, Smoke.
You know, so yeah. So that being said, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was that, and I'm thank you, Cap, for bringing it up. I said with the city of Raleigh, I said you talk about a 50 years of hip hop. I said if you come to 1125 Corporation Parkway, that's the Museum of Hip Hop.
Hmm.
I think it kind of ticked them off with the honors, the different people. I got label contracts. I got artist contracts. You know, it all, I got it all. Oh, 50 years? Come on. You see what I'm saying? And with that being said, I wouldn't accept it. But later on, I thought about it. I said, well, whatever. So I did accept the plaque from that.
Yeah, you deserve it, you know?
You know. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, just a little while ago, one of those DJs stopped by my office. And they saw the plaque that was on my desk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the DJ said?
What?
Oh, my plaque is just like that one.
I got one too. I knew he was going to say that. Wow.
Was this DJ somebody that, in your opinion, you feel has earned it over the time?
As a matter of fact, I feel like that this particular person should have walked away from it. Mm. Because at the time, they were at another station that never played hip-hop.
Right. Hmm. And it's, you know, 50 years of hip hop, not 50 years of radio. Gotcha.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
You know, another person that I service records to, and one of those that never played my records.
Hmm.
So I felt like that was an insult. You see? But I'm not mad at him. You know what I mean? That's just how I am.
Yeah, understood.
And, yeah, man, it's all good. There you go. But how I get to people is you do something bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the next plan for me is, like I shared with you, Cap, I'm coming out with a book. That book is entitled, and I'll give it to you right now. It's called Frankie's Book, 50 Years Hip Hop.
All right.
From me.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. Yeah.
You feel me?
Right, right.
I've already did a survey. I got people saying, oh, man, that's going to be a million sellers. Da, da, da. I don't care nothing about that. Right. I just want to try to unite people together, try to do, that's been my thing all along. You know, that don't bother me because I can come back and do so many things that I've already put in stone that's behind me that I look some days and I say, well, I don't want to mess with that today. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, after so many years in cap, you know, some things you look at and kind of ignore it or whatever. I feel sorry for some of my people that I was with and they went down in the game. Mm-hmm. For example, Suge Knight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before Suge Knight got locked up, I got a check from Suge Knight every month to work Snoop Dogg, Tupac, the Machiavelli album, his whole label, you know, the Dog Pound, Nate Dogg. Do I know them all?
Right. Right.
I hope I didn't leave nobody out, you know, from
Lady Dr. Rage,
Dre, the Chronicle, to whoever. I can call them by name. Mm-hmm. And 50 years, come on, you know. And I'm so honored that he gave me that opportunity, and for him to mess himself up like that, man, it bothers me. You see what I'm saying? But
right.
People are their own destiny. You see what I'm saying? I used to be on conference call, Cap, in Compton. The people in Compton are doing the same thing that I was doing.
Right.
I know just for all of them went to jail. They had the money. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes, you know? It's tough out here.
You can hear gunshots in the middle of the day. That's what concerns me about my people. You know, why are you doing that? You know, right. And one by one, they went down. But that's the good, the bad, and the ugly about all of it.
Yeah, well, you haven't been involved in this since its inception. You know, you can relate. We talk a lot about how much things have changed as far as content goes and what is acceptable compared to what used to be acceptable. And it seems like we're in an era of anything goes. But there was always somebody that pushed that boundary a little farther back every few years anyway. Like, you know, Luke pushed the boundary. NWA pushed the boundary. Ock and Yelly pushed the boundary. Somebody always pushed it a little farther. Yep, you go back earlier, you got Prince pushing boundaries and James Brown pushing boundaries. But so what do you think about where we are? Have the boundaries gone as far as they're going to go? Is it time to bring the boundaries back? Or do you think that this thing's just going to keep on going and going and going, and what's going on today will be tame in comparison
let me
to
share
10,
with you
15
the difference
years from
today
now.
And years ago, not to cut across it. Let me touch that real quick.
Uh-huh.
Back in the day, a national recording artist that made it will be doing a song now of what's going on in the world, like the Marvin Gaye, the Teddy Pendergrass. You see what I'm saying?
Right, without glorifying it.
But now they're just like sitting on the couch. You know what I mean? With all this corruption, all this, so much happening now. People trying to be dictators. People trying to do this. People trying to do
that. Where is the music? Right. I know what you mean. Like, we saw that with Marvin Gaye. Wake up, everybody. We saw that. And even we had that in hip hop with Public Enemy and groups like that would make statements about what's going on in the world. But
people hated them. But Public Enemy pushed their ground.
Right.
They came here to UNC Chapel Hill. I was there when they talked to the students about da da da. You see what I'm saying? But they didn't want groups. They didn't want us to be out there talking to their people about stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm at?
You know, I think a lot of people are going to have mixed feelings about what I'm going to say, but I think if one event changed, we wouldn't be having this conversation about where's the music for what's relatable right now.
What's that event?
They need to let R. Kelly out.
What? Where does R. Kelly have to do with this?
That's why the world in disarray, because we ain't had a R. Kelly.
He was the last person to speak on this time? This is what you think he would have spoken on this or something?
I honestly think, and I ain't trying to be funny, and I'm not trying to take away from his wrongdoings, but his talent. Like, it seems like he always came through with something musically to kind of soothe us through what's going on.
You're right. He was the last. He was the last kind of soulful. He was the last artist that was cut from a similar cloth of those true soul pioneers.
Mm-hmm.
And that spoke right. Like you said, I believe I can fly. And that nobody's given us that kind of music. At least not anybody who can command an audience like that.
But Tep, just like you said, people like that, they want to silence people like that.
Because usually they'll just kill him and say it was a car accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, I have to argue that R. Kelly's predicament is his own doing.
Oh, yeah. I want to address that. I'm just talking about his straight talent. But you're right.
But literally. But that's like, you know, that was his own doing.
Right, his own doing.
Right.
You know? And that those, we don't have the avenues to, because that was one of the last labels owned by us. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting fewer and fewer. You know, especially if you think Puffy, Suge gone,
right
by their own hand.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. Remember Marvin Gaye's song, "War Is Not the Answer."
Mm-hmm.
Who's he talking to?
Right, he wasn't talking to us. he wasn't talking to our community. He was talking to everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's similar to why I say that about R. Kelly.
Yeah, we don't have that type of artist.
Yes, where are they?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Teddy Pendergrass, wake up everybody.
You see what
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wish.
Come on now.
So yeah, you're right.
Brown left us all, and before he left us, he talked to the younger generation, the up-and-coming stars and stuff like that, and talked about, you know, he needed to cool it with that language or whatever. I've seen that kind of taper a little, you see? But we need more of that.
Right.
I'm looking for any day now for somebody to come with that song like a Jay-Z. Or Beyonce, people that has power. But it's like they're sitting on the couch. Again, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're worried about messing their own pockets up. And what those artists before weren't concerned about, you know, like even Jim Brown, he was willing, like he didn't care about his football career more than he cared about fighting for civil rights. Muhammad Ali didn't care about his boxing career more than he cared about fighting for civil rights, you know.
And, you know, since y'all mentioned Jay-Z, Jay-Z and Beyonce both have tried to take some stance.
They tried in today's way.
Yeah. And
trying to walk the line and still not.
But that's not what's going to work.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's a lot of times people say, hey, I'm gonna try to do it from the inside. And what happens is you get paid and you get paid and you get paid. And then after a while, what you're doing is just symbolic.
Turn the money. Right,
yeah.
And doesn't mean anything.
Right.
So,
and
that's a good route right there.
Yeah. right.
So, Smoke, tell me this.
Yeah.
Now, okay, first of all, since you're still out here servicing MP3s, you know, we'll get together on that right there. And, you know, I'm still dibbling and dabbling.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hit you up about that, but I also know that you're promoting an artist right now. So, is that something that you did the entire time outside of promoting for the labels? Have you promoted independent artists and had your hands on them the way that you have your hands on this artist before? Is that something that you've been doing for years?
For years, I've promoted independent artists, but people don't know about it.
Right.
Why they don't know about it? Because I don't advertise that.
Right. They just come with everything else. You treat them like a major artist.
Yeah, I treat them like a major artist. I have a little power with the labels, you know. I have a little power with the programmers. Why? Because it came from my record pool.
Right.
You see where I'm at? Those are things what I call cornering the marketplace.
Tell us.
One last thing that I wanted to share with you before we got away, but I hear what you're saying. Also, in 1998, I opened a second company.
Okay.
You may be aware of it or you may not. It's called Sound Connection. It's a sound company.
Nice. I dabble a little bit on some sound rental myself. Is this like sound rental for shows and DJs and whatnot?
No, let me share this. Go a little more in depth with that. I could do a rental here, there, whatever, but I set up the sound company to corner the entire market since I had the labels in the market, you know, through the record pool,
mm-hmm.
to get them to hire my services to do their actual sound.
Oh, nice. So when they bring an artist in for a show or whatever, you have sounds already locked down.
Mm-hmm.
I got the sound. I got the stage. I got the roof. I got all of that. A lot of people don't know about it. My area, I can do 10,000. I did my first 10,000 at Power 98 Summer Jam. I did Power 98 Summer Jam from 2007 to 2011 at Bojangles Coliseum in Charlotte.
In Charlotte.
Oh, wow. That's the one on Independence?
Independence. It started at Independence, but it changed to Bojangles.
Okay. That's where the Charlotte Hornets started off playing back in the day. Yeah. With the big round one.
Uh-huh. So in my tenure with Sound Connections, the first Dreamville at Dix Park.
Wow.
I'm the guy that put the staging in there.
Ooh.
Oh, cool.
For the media staging, that's the stage out front, the front stage, and the stage, the small stages, the VIP stages in the rear of the Universal stage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And from 2007 to 2011, I had did 40 artists for Terry Avery. Okay. But she retired now. Mm. All right.
Okay.
I've also, let me call some names. Hang on. Bear with me one more second. Remember Chris Allen that won American Idol a few years ago?
I think I remember the name.
Yeah, okay. And I have to be honest, after Fantasia, I was floored and I just walked away.
Oh, okay. I got you. Okay. I did sound at the now Bojangles Coliseum for J. Cole.
Oh, wow.
K. Michelle, Rocco, Bobby Valentino, Lord Banks and Tony Yayo, Mystical. His first time in Carolina, I did ran the sound for him. Let's see what. The list goes on and on and on. Kelly Price, Monica, Joy, a lot of mostly the new artists of today. I played all of them. You didn't know that, right?
Wow.
No, I've only been privy to the record pool side.
Okay. So Smokehouse, I gotta let you know, this podcast, Capital City Podcast with Capital J and MDL Glass, we always bring in the first. And you are the first sound person of this magnitude that we have talked to thus far.
Oh, wow, man. I'm honored.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Stand up for Carolina.
Right. So, so tell me some of the real quick. Let's go through for people that don't know. What are some of the challenges for doing an event so big? Like, what does that take
to do an event real big like that?
10,000 people.
10,000 people. You need a facility first. I stress it to everybody. That's where you start at depending on how many people you want to bring or do. Does that make sense?
Right. Well, tell me about the sound, as like to bring sound in. What do you actually take? Because a lot of people, like you said, we're talking to some people that are totally clueless. What does a sound man have to bring to provide sound for 10,000 people?
Right.
Okay. I'm a dealer for a lot of companies for staging, like one of the biggest stage companies in the world, Bill Jackson. I'm the Carolina dealer. That's how I got the staging. The soundboards, the soundboards, stuff of that magnitude, the same thing. Allen and Heath, I could call different names. Dealers for those. Amplifiers, power speakers. See, I'm the rep for that sell different companies' products. Does that make sense?
Right.
To answer your question. Oh. Now on the side where you're saying, the number of speakers that it takes to do 10,000 people, that kind of thing. You have to have the right manufacturers to be able to handle that.
Okay. It's not about how many speakers.
You have to have the connections to even be able to provide that amount of coverage.
And also you have to do the math. Some people, let me use DJ as an example.
Okay.
Some DJs don't know how many watts a person need in their ear to be able to hear. Some DJs just bring a stack of speakers and just stack them up and just thinking it's going to be big for them. It don't work that way because you get sued. You have to be able to do the math. People are spending their money, okay? Sometimes the ticket's $200, whatever. You have to be able to make sure that sound is right. Possibilities of people come back at you, you know, with suits. So that's the first thing I'm real, real careful of. And you have to have dependable workers. Your workers can ruin you. You know, I use a crew of eight people that I take out all the time, and they know what they're doing. You know, if some jobs require certain engineers to be able to perform this duty, everybody can't do the same thing, engineers or techs.
Right.
All of them are not qualified to do every single thing. Most of them are qualified to do one thing and do it well. Mm. And that's how I base my hiring and all of that. Now, just to go downtown, like a lot of stuff I do, to city buildings to set up a power speaker for somebody to speak through to an audience or something like that. That's not that kind of thing
that
we do. But we do that. But if I understand it correctly, Capital, you're talking about that big arena.
Big stuff, right.
You know,
so and a crew of eight.
That's how I take that. Yeah, that's why I'm giving you that information about that. And we'll fix it where we have time where we can do some things together, stuff like that.
Hmm. Okay. That's exactly the information I was looking for.
Dope.
And with that being said, it brings up another point that I want to bring to you as far as how you got started in this, how you got started in that. Every child that's born in America or wherever, when they went to elementary school or whatever, their teachers always ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Remember that?
Yes. Yep.
Most answers that the instructors got back then wanted to be a fireman, an airplane pilot, or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? But me, I wanted to be a pilot or an engineer. That's what heads up my book that's coming out.
Mm.
Okay? And my oldest son became the pilot. I became the engineer.
Wow.
Ain't that how it works out?
Yeah, that's how it worked out. You know, and he flies for JetBlue commercial.
Oh, right, nice.
Nice.
You know, he retired from the military as a Black Hawk helicopter pilot. You know, when he came back to the States, he didn't stop. He already got him a job and doing what he loved to do.
Wow.
That's nice. You know?
Congratulations.
And so that's how the sound company came about. Plus, as a DJ, that was part of that too. Different riffs. Once I acquired a building to be established in one location, that's when all the sound people started coming to visit. Can I put this in your store to sell? But you got to have a place to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I did with my money, I can see my money. Just then, I invested in a 20-unit office complex, 1,400 square feet per unit, okay? But I'm part owner. Out of the 20 units, I bought one of those units. But that makes me part owner of the whole complex.
Gotcha.
See what I'm saying? And that's where the store came into play.
Okay.
Nice.
By the people visiting the store, just like Walmart. They have reps coming in every day. Can I put this in your store to sell? The same thing with me.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Well, next time I'm in the market for some speakers, I know where to go.
Right.
We welcome you. Yeah. QSC to, you know.
Yeah, I want some of those. I want some of those new subs with 3,000 watts.
Oh, that's heavy right there. That's heavy. But anyway, I shared part of my story today. And I have to say, is there any questions for me at this moment? Or
Well, since we're wrapping it up, why don't you take the time to shout out the artists that you're working right now? You know, the listeners be glad to know what's going on. Who's on the roster right now?
Oh, okay. We just put out a new Boney James record with October London.
Oh, all right.
Okay, it's kind of hot. And Jeff, when you come see me, you know, we really can do some things.
Cool.
You know, and but Kay Marion is independent. She's from the Greensboro High Point area. Mm-hmm. And she's very, very talented. I did a survey state by state, and everything that came back was she's so talented, da 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 da. But she has so many records that people don't even know about. We didn't even put out the hot record. You know, the hot record will be the second single, which is called Candy. And next couple of weeks, we'll probably do something with that. But the Soul Speak, we're trying to get whatever we can get out of it. That was an introductory record.
Right.
And we have the MP3, we have the Wave, we have all the above. It's just a matter of me getting them to do some other things to back that play up. We got 18 stations on it so far in less than 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And so that's where all of that. Now, the power stations, Cap, as you know, they got to see some action.
Right. So you got to build it from the ground up.
You got to build it from the ground up. And that's what we're doing right now. And as far as me as advertising and stuff like that, I've always been that local guy, kind of word of mouth, and I never changed.
Mm-hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? You know,
that's what this is.
Right.
We are word. We are letting people know.
Yeah,
spreading the word.
Yeah, you know, each one teach one. You know, that kind of thing. And on the record side, Cap, like if I was sharing with you, the labels are missing so much by not just coming totally out of the community. Because it's going to take longer. People will get there, but it'll take longer if you don't have the grassroots people from the street.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Hey, I have a question that I'd like to ask.
Okay.
Because as a consumer of hip-hop and a connoisseur of North Carolina hip-hop, I often wonder, like, why haven't we had more success than the few hip hop artists that we have had that go to the national stage?
Okay. The particular artist that I'm working right now, she is R&B.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't, but me, I haven't seen that. Or nobody has brought that to me. Does that make sense?
Okay.
You know, I've had people bring me some hip hop, but I wasn't really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of a Carolina thing or whatever. In 50 years, I think I pretty much can judge. You see what I'm saying? Plus,
right.
Another thing that comes into play first is the money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that are very, very talented can't go there.
Yeah, to give it the polish that it needs to come across as a national.
You have to have that studio behind you. You got to be able to go in the studio and fix what's wrong with that record. Especially if I go to a programmer and ask them to give me their feedback, they're going to tell me what's wrong with that record. So when they tell me what's wrong with that record, if you can't fix that record right then, mm-hmm. you messed my reputation up.
Right. Wow.
You see where I'm at? It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot to the music game.
Mm-hmm. You just said a mouthful.
Yep.
Dang.
We have touched on that a little bit before with the quality of engineering issues and
absolutely.
And it's especially hard for R&B artists, you know, like when you say fix a record, I've been handed records before and there might be a part where it's like, oh man, they're just off key in this bridge right here and
throw it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to both of you, let me share another thing that goes with that. As it relates to promoters. Yeah, I've seen a decline, you know, on our side, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people have bought up all the venues, mm-hmm. and the before the pandemic, I saw promoters coming out every day.
Mm-hmm.
That went away. So what did that tell me? That told me that they were either borrowing the money, losing their shirt, trying to do a promotion, okay, and they were forced out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
The things that I portray to people or whatever are things that I actually see. You know, not talking to somebody else what they think, I've lived it. Mm-hmm. For 50 years. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
That's why I'm so happy that y'all gave me the opportunity to tell my story tonight.
Absolutely. Hey, well, I tell you what, man, you have done us a service, and we're happy that you took the time. And I also want to use this moment to say thank you for everything you've done. Like, you've done a lot for my career, and I know you've done a lot for other people. So anybody listening, I'm saying thank you for everybody that you've helped out on behalf of me. Mm-hmm. You know?
But I am so ecstatic that I'm honored, really, you know, because that's me. That's the real me. I mean, I know people going to do this. Everybody's not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. You know, people that do come to my office, fellas, I share with them, okay? I don't want your money. I want you to make it. So let me share a few things with you, You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I'm still letting them know something about the game that I know they don't know or don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
But that's me. It's not all about that dollar. You know, but you got to get your money, you know.
Right.
But I could do it other ways with somebody that's got it.
Hey, you know, just having this conversation, the whole conversation, I'm reflecting on in my head because we're wrapping it up. But so from my standpoint, Mr. Freeze was instrumental in North Carolina hip hop. And I didn't hear his name come up when we were talking to you. So I'm assuming, like, with your record pool and so my.
He had a record store.
Right. But he was one of the, you know, major stores, and how did they coexist?
Yeah, yeah. Tell us about the dynamic between stores versus pool. Yeah, that's an interesting avenue.
Let me answer that question real quick, okay?
Okay.
With that being said, Mr. Freeze and I are real tight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's first, okay? With that being said, Mr. Freeze tried to get in my record pool with every opportunity he had, right? But I wouldn't allow him to come into my record pool. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask you why.
Because I think you already said because he's just going to sell the records.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And these are things, like I share with you right now, when I say I know him, I know him.
Right.
And me and him laugh. Listen, me and him laugh about it. It's nothing against us. He laughs. He said, "Man, I know you're not going to live in that record pool, whatever. I'm free. You know, I can't do that."
So
and we talk. We don't. We boys.
Earlier,
but not only him. But wait a minute. I had auto stores, Willis Records in Greensboro, Willis Records in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about them selling my records. They were really trying to sell their product, and they stretched through DC.
Right. And
Willis Records. Huh?
One thing a lot of people won't know is too, is that what you got from Smokehouse wasn't in the stores yet.
Right. Yeah, you said that a couple. Yeah.
You know, right. So right. You can go get it from the store a few weeks later.
I know, right? Know?
But these
Pat,
are the.
You're right. But. Again, you answered part of the question too. You see what I'm saying? From me, you get the acapella, the main, the TV version, the video. You get all of that.
Yep, the clean radio, the instrumental.
So what? But my question is, what do you think separates Frankie Smokehouse from Mr. Freeze? A lot.
Yes, sir. There's a difference between the plug and the connect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. Right.
I won't service in the cassette. I'll service in vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
I won't service in the 8-track. I won't service in vinyl CDs.
Right.
He had the 8-track with his oldies, da da da, whatever. You see what I'm saying? Okay. You know, as far as the hip hop side, he had Rock Sam Shantae come through there. But what about the thousands of others? You still saying that I'm handling?
Only because y'all boys, I let you, you know, say take shots like that.
Honestly, you had to have both. Like you needed, like they. It wasn't a question of how. Like I never thought of Mr. Freeze and Smokehouse as a competition. You need both of them.
Right.
You know, it's not even the same avenue. Yeah. You got to have Freeze and Smokehouse or you just not going to make
it. That's why I was like, yeah, you know, like I knew it was some kind of relationship. I just knew he was a part of the record.
Wait a minute. Let me finish, though. Freeze,
tell
you he was ever on a radio station?
No, he didn't say he was on the station, did he?
No.
But that's promotion that he's lacking. You
yes,
see?
Yes.
I had a hip hop show. I had a hip hop show 5 years straight, number one in the market.
Right.
There's a whole lot of differences there.
Right, right.
To answer your question, you know, this is real talk. You need to know, you know, that business wise, yeah, we long ways apart. You know, and I commend him for what he did with Carolina. He had a band one time. Did he tell you about that?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he spread in the magazine.
Yeah, we just stuck at that same radio station. But I moved on from WLLE AM to FM.
Mm-hmm.
So I broadened my horizon. You see?
Right.
Yes,
you know, so that's not talking about someone. That's explaining the difference that you asked me.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's all love here.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know. Again, I'm serious. You know, Freeze will come to my event right now if I do anything.
Right.
He'll be right there. Yeah, we're like that. But both of us know why we don't do, you know.
Right. Right. Understood.
Okay. Like, listen, like, Freeze, my friend Freeze, going back to the 50-year hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Freeze is way back there. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But it wasn't to the magnitude of a Frankie Smokehouse.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't retail, but I served as ambassador to the rest of the world with a hip hop.
Say it with your chest out. Say it with your chest out. I hear you, sir. Talk that talk. I love this.
But you know what? That hip hop thing, let me share this. That hip hop thing, when the Grammys came, the Grammys before the last Grammy, mm-hmm. LL Cool J brought out all them artists. Mm-hmm. He caused confusion, just like the people in Raleigh caused confusion in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now, what he has is every city trying to do a 50-year hip hop.
Right. Yes.
Cool J had people in New York City that he overlooked because so many of them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
All of them still mad at him right now.
Absolutely.
You know, Cool Herc, just can't walk. Hmm. You know, he was the beginning of all of it. Cool J had to finally go back and take care of him, you know what I mean? Because he's one of those boys that took it and ran with
him. Right, right.
Because he was in a certain time at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he went back and picked him up, I understand, and I honor him for that.
Right on.
You know what I'm saying?
Right on. Well, we honor you today, Smokehouse.
Yes, sir.
Definitely. Huh? We honor you today.
Okay.
this is your hip hop honors. Your yes, hip hop honors on the Capital City podcast. Hip hop honors, right, Smokehouse.
You. Thank you so much, you know. And I am so deeply honored to the both of you, and I hope big things come to what you want to portray or whatever, you know.
Thank you.
And with me, I'm probably the book that I'm talking about may be the last thing that I do. I'm up in age now, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I'm at. K may be the last artist on my roster. I don't know. You know, I just see, as long as I keep my health. I'm not retired.
Right.
I love what I do, you know, to add. And I hope to continue on as long as I can. That's where I'm at.
Right on.
Well, we are archiving Carolina music history.
Yep, that's really our purpose, archiving Carolina's music history. And we're trying to make sure we talk to everybody that had a major impact. So that it's on, it's been recorded for posterity now.
Right.
Yeah, but you know what? We talk about hip hop, right? But I came to an era that had just as much success with the R&B.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
When we talk to people who, the farther back they go, and, you know, I can say this myself as a DJ, you know, we remember when there wasn't a hip hop actual format on wax.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And everything was R&B.
I'm thankful for the man that put me on the map. Sorry about that. But that's Alvin Stowe, the late Alvin Stowe. And I'll talk about him for the rest of my days. You know, I give him the credit for giving me that opportunity at his radio station, the first FM.
Mm-hmm. Shout out Alvin Stowe.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But he did other things too. He left radio.
Right.
He left radio and went to records. Atlantic Records. MC Light was one of his artists.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Okay. He left Raleigh Durham, went to Greensboro to QMG.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's where I was cutting my teeth.
Right.
You know, so my hat off to him and all the artists that have gone on, you know, which we did a moment of silence and whatever. I'm honored to have you guys let me do that. And I'm always thankful and thinking about the next person. So I will always be like that. And Cap, you probably remember my mom at the Christmas party.
Yep.
I would always allow my mom to speak at the Christmas party. We did that 25 years, Cap.
Wow.
And I never forgot something that she said when I brought her to the podium one year, that nobody will live forever. Hmm. And that still lingers in my heart today. Mm-hmm. And that's been a long time ago. See what I'm saying?
Right. So your flowers now.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yep. Congratulations for all you've done.
So that Christmas party had been going on for 25 years at that point. So that means you were getting money for 25 years. You want to share your net worth before we go?
I heard that, but you know what? And I respect that question, you know, but I do a lot of things, and I'll leave a lot of people wondering.
Hey, that's the way to do it.
That's the greatest, yeah.
That's the way to do it, Smoke.
Oh, I just thought about something.
What's that?
The first from the 252. Martin County.
Oh, yeah. Williamston in the house. Yep, another first. Eastern North Carolina guy besides us.
Right.
So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, one more first. Yeah. Well, we're getting ready to get out of here, Smoke. I want you to, after we shut this thing down, hang on, and we'll say our goodbyes off this podcast. But for right now, we're going to shut this thing down. I think we covered all the bases here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I think so.
Yep. Anything you want to say to the people on the way out?
Pretty much, if you're striving to do something, you know, do what you're trying to do at your fullest. And people may talk about it or whatever, but don't listen to that. Just stay positive and move on.
Right on. It's the Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass,
and the legendary Smokehouse. See y'all next week.